What's up, guys? Seth here on Super Seth Speaks, and welcome to episode number 19 of the podcast with myself, your host, Super Seth.
And Thunder E from Border Work, your co-host.
Who is wearing a shirt today. He's just come back from an interview.
No, that's not true. That's not true.
I've not seen you with a shirt on your channel or the podcast before.
I have in the past, but today I was doing some filming in the city, so I decided to wear some new threads.
There you go. All right, so today we're going to be talking, we've got lots of leaks this week. So the main area of focus will be the leaks. We've got the Z Fold 3. There's been some major leaks around that. The Z Flip 3 as well. Some very notable leaks. iPhone 13 leaked information, so more iPhone 13 info here, as well as a potential iPhone Fold that's going to be coming at some point. So we've got lots to talk about, but also we're going to go slightly into the weird and wonderful, and we're going to be discussing some of my 4 a.m. thoughts, one of which is, will YouTube still exist in 100 years? And if it does, how will it exist? So we'll get to all of that. There's lots to cover. I also want to mention that we've had a few issues with Apple Podcasts since they kind of released their new subscription model. It seems like the episodes are not being pushed out to all listeners. So do bear with us. Hopefully we'll get that sorted out soon if you are somebody who normally listens on Apple Podcasts. Anyway, so E, let's start off with the Samsung Galaxy Z Fold 3. That's a long name. We'll just obviously call it Fold 3. Now, we've had some interesting leaks on Weibo, right? So there's been some images that actually look pretty genuine. They look like they have been taken from a promo video that Samsung usually has. Pretty low quality, however. Now, the first thing that we have, there's a screenshot from Ice Universe, who's a very prominent leaker, and that says 120 hertz inside and out. So at this point, the Z Fold 2 has a high refresh rate for the fold-out display, but the cover display is still 60 hertz. This is going to be 120 hertz on both, which would make it the first foldable to have 120 hertz on both the outside as well as the inside. So that's the first piece of news, which looks pretty exciting. But then there's some really, really cool stuff. So then there's a screenshot which shows taking calls while taking notes, right? And we can see an S Pen. So the Z Fold is kind of folded halfway, and then there is an S Pen, which confirms the rumors that we've had that the Z Fold 3 will have an S Pen. So that's the second piece of big news. And then the third piece, which you know, I was a little bit skeptical about, but now it's seeming more likely, we also see a screenshot where there's text that says the first foldable with an under display camera. So currently we have a punch out on the foldable display of the Z Fold 2. And this is something, you know, that can be a little bit distracting, but it looks like Samsung may have figured out a way to get it under the display without it being really bad quality, like we've seen on some other implementations, shall we say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's looking exciting. I think, you know, the rumored date for release is around July, I believe.
Yeah, which makes sense.
Yeah, I mean Z Fold 3. Let me hear your thoughts based on all of this information.
I mean, all I hear is fire, 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 fire. Samsung is just clicking on all cylinders. I mean, look, having 220 hertz displays on one device, that's a battery drain. We know that, but at least it's there. And you can drop it down to 60 hertz if you like or whatever. The S Pen, again, for me, you know how much I love the Galaxy Note. I'm holding my Galaxy Note 20 right now. I just got a new case to move to the S21. And again, this is almost 6 months. I still haven't moved to the S21 because of that. And then finally, that under-display front-facing camera, or camera at least, is something that we'll be quite interested to see what Samsung does. And we probably will see limitations in this quality. It might just be 1080p instead of 4K, you know. And it might be for one of the cameras, not both of the cameras. So maybe in, you know, the bigger display, the one that folds open might have the under display, while the one in the front of the main camera will have a traditional, you know, like a punch hole or something in there. But honestly, it's sounding good. As long as that S Pen goes inside, then I am 100% sold. If not, I will be at like 95.
Okay. So there's an interesting point you mentioned there, because it seems like, at least at this point, unless Samsung's figured it out, that you for an under display camera, it's not going to be as good as, you know, what you'd normally get, because if there's something that's not got anything covering. So I do think I do agree with you where it might be that the cover display does have a traditional punch out camera, because that's what you'd normally be using for selfies. And to be honest, if you do want to take selfies, you can just fold it open and use the rear facing cameras for selfies using the cover display, right?
Which is much better.
When you're what you'd traditionally been using when the fold is open, right, is for video calls, right? Now when you're on video calls, you don't need more than 1080p, right? 4K, you don't need 4K for video calls. There's nothing that's going to stream
too much bandwidth
at that level. Yeah. So I kind of see that, and you know, that would be a very interesting implementation. I'm very interested to see how they're gonna implement the S Pen, because remember, the current fold, you could use your nail on that plastic display, dig in, and it's going to leave permanent marks on the display. Now, I'm kind of thinking, okay, how do they do this with the S Pen? So it's rumored to have Gorilla Glass Victus on the outside, obviously, but we're still going to have Glastic, or whatever you want to call it, the plastic internally, with the glass. So I'm interested to see, are they going to make the nib of the S Pen a little bit more blunt or something, maybe? So then, you know, it's not as sharp as what we've traditionally seen on Note devices. I don't know. This is going to be quite interesting. So, exciting nevertheless. There's a few question marks, but we're going to be finding out all of these things hopefully very soon. And with the camera module as well, it's not going to be, you know, a wider rectangle like we've got on the Z Fold 2 right now. It looks like it's going to be more of a narrow vertical camera alignment. So, you know, similar to what we had in the Note 10. It's just in a row, and That tells us that there's not going to be periscope zoom or anything like that. So, you know, we're not going to be getting crazy amounts of zoom like we've seen on
I mean, I think it's fine. I mean, the S21 really brings the best traditional phone experience, right? And this is an untraditional experience. So it's good to see more untraditional things like an S Pen and also the under-display fingerprint. And maybe this is where Samsung, maybe this is also part of the reason why the Note line isn't going to be there anymore, or it's at least pause for a while. Because now, remember, the Note used to be the untraditional things that happened, that Samsung did. While the S line, of course, has always been the traditional. So this is a way now to do more untraditional stuff. And then you still have your S line if you want some nice traditional, you know, smartphones.
Yeah, I mean, very exciting coming soon. Samsung Galaxy Z Flip 3 as well. So this is the clamshell foldable. And we've seen some very prominent leaks in the past week. Again, a lot of these are coming on Weibo. So we've got some of the promo materials. There seems to be 4 colors that are going to be available at least. We've got a green, a violet, a beige, and a gray. But the design almost looks like a Pixel 2 that can fold in half, right? That's something that everybody's saying, because we've got this glossy black area at when the device is closed. We can see 2 cameras, so we're likely to have the standard primary as well as an ultra-wide camera. But we do now see a much larger cover display. So the Z Flip 3. This would be the Z Flip 2, actually. Sorry, because the Z Flip was actually the first of its kind. So we see a much bigger, more usable cover display, because the cover display on the original Z Flip was very small.
I think, according to rumors, though, it looks like it's going to be called Z Flip 3. They are basically matching.
I mean,
the fold.
They have done that before, where they've kind of skipped a number to kind of, you know, put things in line. So I wouldn't be surprised, if they did do that. The larger cover display would make it much more usable. We can see from some of these screenshots that you've got some notification information that would actually be much more readable than what we had on the original Z Flip. It's looking good. What do you think about the fact that it looks like a folded Pixel 2e?
I mean, I can see that it looks better just because Pixel colors were always very pastel and mute. I just never was a fan of those color tones. And I also like the fact that the display on the very top is bigger, but not too big. And I get, you know, I know Mr. Mobile loved the larger display on the Motorola, like he's just for viewing purposes, but I don't know. I mean, I like the way the Z Flip had a small display because I wanted to flip open my phone. Like, that's just me, you know, with that mindset. But it looks like it's going to be, you know, the continuation of that line. We'll see some new features. We'll see more performance. I really wish that Samsung would go with the 870 and the Z Flip and bring that price under $1,000. Because to me, that would really, you know, get more people into foldables as well. The Z Fold 3, sure, you know, let's push out all the bells and whistles. But I Samsung, you're listening, 870 on the Z Flip, get it to 999 or something like that. And
okay, go. Let's predict. Obviously, there's no pricing information as yet, but let's put a prediction on the Z Flip 3 pricing. I'm going to say $1,200.
I mean, you're probably right, but I'll just go with $999 just because I want it to hit that mark.
You know what's going to be really funny is if they go in $1,100 and then we're like, boom, bang in the middle. So I'm hopeful for $1,100, but I think if I'm being realistic, it's going to be $1,200. And I don't know, there's so many fans of the Flip, right? Austin Evans, Quinn.
Quinn loves
that. They absolutely love the Z Flip. And you know, I really do think that's more of a... It's more of a popular, I would say it's more of a mainstream form factor because you're still getting your full 5-6 inch smartphone display experience, which you're used to, but then you can fold it in half. And I quite like that idea. Whereas the fold is more of if you want a tablet, right? So yeah, it's kind of like, okay, do you want a smartphone that turns into a tablet? And that, although is more useful, shall we say, it's not something everybody wants. Like, not everybody wants a tablet all the time. So, yeah. I mean, but it's nice to have these options. And, you know, Samsung is obviously leading the way here in foldables. But it looks like Apple may be joining the foldable race soon. So we've got a new report. So here on GSM Arena, it says, according to one of the most reliable Apple analysts, Ming-Chi Kuo, I hope I'm saying that right, my apologies, the Cupertino-based tech giant is working on a foldable iPhone of its own and will be ready in 2023. So still a couple of years away. The report even has a couple of specs, right? So with the help of some industry sources, Ku was able to scoop up some supplier information. For instance, the display will be about 8 inches when folded out diagonally and will have a Quad HD Plus resolution. The supplier will once again be Samsung. Of course, Samsung is the display supplier of the world right now, smartphone display supplier of the world, but will use silver nanowire touch tech developed by TPK due to its compelling advantages over Samsung's Y-octo approach, right? The shipment target of the said foldable device is believed to be between 15 and 20 million units, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Apple, traditionally, as we know, they're not the first to kind of jump onto a new trend. They generally wait and see if something actually picks up and wait for the technology to come to a point where they can be like, okay, now we're bringing it along, right? They weren't the first to bring 5G. They let everybody else kind of do that trial and error, and then once they thought it was something viable for their iPhones, they bought it over. A lot of these things that we've seen from Apple, they want the first with wireless charging, with faster charging, etc. So foldables clearly seem to be popular and something that a lot of people want to see. And I would say, realistically speaking, the next big thing in the smartphone space. Samsung is obviously leading, but we've seen lots of promising devices from Huawei, Xiaomi, Motorola, and it would make sense for Apple to join this. But again, the 2023 timeline actually makes sense as well to me, because it's not like Apple are just going to jump into something like this very quickly.
Yeah, it's going to be a foldable iPad, not a phone. Honestly, I don't see it as being a, in that traditional sense, being a phone. I think if you look at the way Apple is positioned now, and you know, we're going to talk about, you know, the iPhone 13, but you know, we've seen people now talk about M1 chips in the iPhone. We said that first. I see that progression where this can be that device, because Apple has a very polished tablet piece of software, right? Mm. No one else does. And Apple has also a very polished smartphone software. And granted, they are different, they are also very similar at the same time. So having it feel more like a more portable iPad than it being a phone, which will help segment it out and even grow and increase, because then that eats into this other market as opposed to just, you know, the iPhone. Again, I could be very wrong, but I think this would be Apple's true first hybrid device, because again, it's on the very same ecosystem they can run with in terms of applications and usability in there.
So are you saying that you think it's going to be an iPad fold, which wouldn't also work as a smartphone? Or are you saying that the primary focus would be that it's an iPad that can be also a phone?
I think it's an iPad that can be a phone, but I think they will take the iPad approach as being that's the line that it comes from. Because again, the Apple Pencil will be tied into it. We all know how good it is. A lot of people love to use it, especially artists and things like that. So why fold an iPhone when you can fold it an iPad? And again, you can run, I mean, iPad runs LTE. You can have the same set of apps to make phone calls and all that stuff, right? All you need is basically phone calls, really. Every other app works.
So this is an interesting point, because I think an advantage that Apple kind of has is the fact that they have iPad OS, right? So iPad OS is made for tablet, right? And you've got all of these features. So... But what would be interesting is if they, when you folded the device and say they do have a covered display, obviously we don't know if they're going to have a covered display or not, but say if they do have a covered display, if it's more of an iOS format and then it turns into iPad OS, both in one device, I think that would be quite compelling, because obviously, you know, foldables, they have their own sort of skins and, you know, they're trying to do multi-screen and all of this stuff, right? But it's still Android, right? It's not a specific tablet-based format
for the OS. Samsung like has to try and do a lot of things to cover it. But also look at that market where the iPad is becoming a very expensive tool. And again, there are people who would want to have both, can afford both. And this becomes that bridge device. It may not be as powerful as, say, the M1 iPad, right? Because that's, of course, that's the big boy, that's the beast, that's the one. But it's still going to be more powerful than anything else, because it will be running whatever A17 or whatever it is then.
So I disagree with you there slightly because of the price element, because you have the regular iPads, right? Which are actually quite affordable, like you're looking at around $400.
Oh, yes. And they I totally forgot about that.
You're thinking pro level, right? So now, if you were to buy a baseline iPhone 12 for about $800 and then spend another $400, it's going to be about $1,200 for two devices, right? And now, I would very much doubt that this foldable, even if it comes out in 2 years' time, is going to be around the $1,200 mark. I would expect it to be more around the $1,500 at least.
It'll be $1,500,
yeah. So I would disagree with you on the price side.
I agree, but I think also, again, let's put it this way. It's coming out, it's stated coming out in 2 more years. Because it's coming out in 2 more years and because of development of foldables, Apple will still price at 15, which is good for them. Yeah, I was doing the math out loud in the sense that the cost of production will actually be around $800 to $900, but they will still price at $1,500 because it's always the Apple tax.
Hey, but I mean... Nevertheless, I think it's an exciting time for foldables. And I do think, you know, something I was talking to Fisher about as well, it does seem like the next big thing in the smartphone space. But until that happens and those become a lot more mainstream, we will be getting the iPhone 13s this year. Now, we've already covered some leaks of the iPhone 13 previously here in the podcast. We saw a leak of the iPhone 13 mini, which has a very similar design, but diagonal camera alignment. But we've just had a new leak, and reading this article from GSM Arena, we've been hearing the fact that iPhones are going 120Hz this year for a while now. And today, a new report from Korea basically confirms that, while adding some intriguing new info. Only the iPhone 13 and iPhone 13 Pro Max are said to have the new LTPO AMOLED screens with 120Hz refresh rate, and these will be made exclusive by Samsung Display. Not just that, but Samsung Electromechanics will supply the rigid, flexible printed circuit boards, and these are used to connect the OLED panel to the main board. So, last year, we were hoping that the iPhone 12s would have 120Hz displays. That didn't happen. It was something that we were very much expecting on the iPhone 13s, and this report pretty much confirms it. Now, it's kind of expected that it would be just for the Pro models. So, hey, if you want to get the high refresh rates, the smoother displays, then you're going to go for the Pros, right? So the regulars won't have this, right? Now, what's interesting is because I remember when the talk about the iPhone 12s having 120Hz displays, there were lots of rumors around that. But then it kind of seemed like because of the sheer amount of iPhones Apple sells, right? They sell in the millions. They would not be able to get those displays. The supply just wouldn't match up the demand, right? For the iPhone 12 and the 12, sorry, the iPhone 12 Pro and the 12 Pro Max. So obviously now they've had a lot of time to kind of get those supplies done, and it looks like the 13s will finally have a 120Hz display.
I think it's actually slightly the opposite. I don't think it was necessarily supply. I think it was the fact that Apple wanted to get the LTPO display and wanted to see how well it worked in terms of battery life. Because already we know very well how much 5G chews up battery life, right? And the iPhones on 5G running 60Hz, it just drains. So going to 120 will be just another. And Apple doesn't want to mince those things for its customers. So, you know, Samsung has used the LTPO. It works now. Well, okay, cool. We'll take it. We'll use it for the Pro and Pro Max because, again, Pro users want that as opposed to the others. But it's nice to see. I was going to say the other thing from this article means that it looks like Samsung's going to have a good fourth quarter this year because besides their own devices, they'll be supplying, it looks, according to the article, says they'll be supplying for the iPhone 12 and 13 this year up to 110 million OLED panels, as well as those PCB boards. That's a lot of cash. Not saying you should buy Samsung stock, but you know what? Hey, just putting it out there.
I mean, Samsung's killing it in the display game. I mean, pretty much all of the flagship displays that we get, and also now camera sensors as well, they're doing a lot more in, because we've seen like the Xiaomi Mi 11 Ultra has the Samsung sensor for the 108 megapixel camera, the 64 megapixel camera. They've obviously got a lot of 108 megapixel cameras that are being distributed as well, so they're doing pretty well. So yeah, I mean, it's looking good for Samsung, and I mean, I would definitely like to see 120Hz. That's one of the things that I really found kind of missing on the Pro models, at least, of the iPhones, the current iPhones. I mean, for an Apple user who's not experienced that, I mean, they may have experienced that on the iPad Pros, but that's not experienced that on a smartphone. Probably it's not something that they're going to be necessarily missing, but once you do experience it, it's something that you really do notice, especially when you go.
Oh, you never want to go back. Yeah, never want to go back.
But yeah, I mean, September, October time is when we're going to be seeing the new iPhones. And of course, we're going to be having more information as time goes on. And we'll be covering it right here at the podcast. Right. Mm-hmm. Now, we want to end with something a little bit off topic, as we normally do. I tweeted a few days ago, and this is just me not being able to sleep and just having these random 4 a.m. thoughts. But I tweeted asking, do we think YouTube will still exist in 100 years? And if it does exist in 100 years, what are they going to do with all that content? Are they going to get rid of old content? Are they going to archive it? Are they going to, you know, like just keep it all like an archive for history? And this kind of sparked up quite a big debate. There was so many replies of people kind of saying, there's one side of, you know, people saying that the world might not even exist in 100 years, right? I mean, it's a valid point. You never know. Like, what's going to happen in the next 10 years? We don't know, right? So, will it still exist? But YouTube, as you know, a service that's there, obviously we've seen so many companies come and go, right? So we've seen, you know, the likes of all these social media giants, like, you know, we've seen MySpace, we've seen Yahoo go from place to place. All of these things. Somebody mentioned GeoCities, right? Those old websites that are just completely archived. But I think YouTube's quite different because, as far as I can see, even in the next 10 years, I still think, because yes, we might have other forms of video, like short form video, but YouTube's always got a place because it's a place for searchable and, you know, just informative content, which you really don't find in the same format anywhere else, right? And it's been going on for how many years? Like 15 years plus, and it's been dominant for 15 plus years, and it doesn't seem to be slowing down. So I can at least see, you know, for the foreseeable future, carrying on. Obviously, we don't know about in 100 years. That's obviously a big question mark.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's an interesting question, because in 100 years, we don't know. I still think the planet will be around in 100 years. I'm going to live to 120, so at least I have a few years close to that mark. I'm not going to tell you my age. I'm really young, by the way. But
those evergreen Nigerian genes. So he could be 70 years old for all you know. You just never know, because he'll always look young.
I'm keeping it on the low right now. But I think when it comes to this, I think it's going to be our digital video archive. And one of the things that we tend to forget about YouTube is, you know, we're on YouTube, we're YouTubers, we talk about tech, and we also forget that there are so many different categories in YouTube. So prime example, Harvard University has lectures on YouTube, which means there's an educational just basin of knowledge, right, of video knowledge that you can watch. Many companies have courses on YouTube. You know, people do networking. Well, I've got my buddy Ose who would watch networking videos and just put on 2xp and just kind of blow through, because it's, you know, it's all, there's a lot of educational base besides even the entertainment and also periods. So I think it's an interesting thing that I hope YouTube is thinking themselves also right now, and Google as a company, because this archive will change from video to maybe a different type of visual format, whether it is, you know, by that time we're just doing neural sensors and we're just, you know, getting the information in, or it's VR or it's a hologram. But I hope they're thinking of classifying their content in terms of stages and eras, because as we move, it's going to change. You know, we're, you know, we've got Gen Zs now, and how they look at our content as we grew up, right? The kind of movies and shows and things like that. So I think it's going to be very interesting. I hope it stays. I don't know. When I get to that time, I'll let you guys know. So
so here's the thing. So, you know, because video is a format, right? Like, the way I see it is, okay, we've got written books and stuff, right? So we've got books from centuries ago. I mean, sure, we've now got them in digital form and the language might have changed slightly, but the books are still in its form. I mean, they've not changed. Yeah. They're still books, okay? So, you know, we're talking hundreds of years and they've still carried on, right? Now, if we look at video as a format over the past however long it's been, right? Even if you look at back at the, you know, early 1900s when we had like Charlie Chaplin movies and stuff, it's still video. Mm-hmm. And we still watch it in the same way. We still consume it in the same way. Sure, it's black and white. Sure, it's you know, some of the stuff didn't have sound, right? But it's still viewed in the same way, and I can't see that changing. Sure, we might have, you know, he's just saying holograms, and we might view it differently, but the content itself will relatively remain in a similar sort of format, right? That you capture the footage and you play it, right? And yeah. I don't see video as a format like kind of drastically changing. Even if it does change, I mean, I still see it beneficial value on the archiving, like in terms of being able to look back. So like right now, if you want to learn about history, you can find, like, you know, old journals and old articles from, you know, 100 years ago. And then, you know, you can kind of research and kind of, it takes you back in time. Now, if you've got this video library of stuff that we've actually got captured, if you did want to take a look back into time 100 years ago, then if YouTube still exists, you'd be able to do that. Like, you'd be able to look back and see, oh, this is what was happening at that time. But then the other side of me kind of thinks, right now, 500 hours of YouTube video is being uploaded every single minute, right? That's a lot of stuff. And let's be real here. a lot of that is useless content that nobody watches. Okay, right? It might be somebody's, I mean, it might be like a personal archive. So a lot of people kind of like just put videos up there. It might be private, but it might just be for family viewing, etc. But that's a lot of data. Now, obviously data changes. I mean, like right now, the full YouTube library that we have, you know, in 100 years time might be something that's, you know, the equivalent of what we have as, you know, a few gig right now on a personal computer. It might be the equivalent of that with you know, how if data expands and stuff like that. But it also kind of like, you know, raises the question for me, is just like, if this carries on, they're going to have so much data. Is it going to come to a point where they're going to be like, okay, we're going to start, you know, if there's something that's not been viewed in 20 years, that's going to go into a separate archive. It's no point leaving it in the same way.
Absolutely. I think that's going to happen. But I think one of the biggest things we're going to get because of the way video is moving, you're talking about YouTube, right? And it's funny how you mentioned YouTube, how much useless data. But think about something like TikTok as it grows, where, you know, every second there's just some new content people post on TikTok. Granted, it's shorter, but just, again, just the volume of content in general. And I think what this is going to help do is, number one, help us get better video codecs, better compression, filming, so that, you know, because eventually 4K footage, file size wise, will feel like how we used to film stuff in 720. And it literally should, because, you know, cameras are also going to get better. They're going to get bigger sensors, sharper resolution, things like that. So I think it's a race of reducing size, or maybe even it then forces us to capture video in a very different way with a new type of sensor that changes everything. But again, it's going to force us, because like you mentioned, there's so much content, and especially if people are paying for that content, you still have to kind of keep some of it around, right? So there has to be better ways of compression and archiving and archive retrieval that's fast enough where people, you know, can still see this stuff down the line. But it reminds me of a lot of the sci-fi novels I listen to and read. There's one I was listening to recently that said, you know, you could get that novel, like this TV show from Earth. And the guy was like, well, I couldn't find the archive. They're like, yeah, there's like hundreds of different archives from different eras and generations, because they just had to cut it off and archive things away. And this was like 1,000 years in the future. So I was like, all right, yeah, that definitely makes sense.
So, I mean, I think it's going to carry on, obviously, unless something drastic happens. You know, if it does carry on, I think there will be a process of, okay, this video has not had a single view in 50 years. It's going to go either going to be removed, or it's going to be archived into a separate sort of library, which is not, it's you're going to kind of have to go through to be able to retrieve that. So it might not be deleted, but it's not going to be. Because otherwise, like, you know, when you're searching for something, there's just so much, just endless content. So you'll see one of 675 million results, right? It's just not going to be practical that way, is it? So I think eventually it's going to come to a point, like, you know, obviously YouTube's been going on for whatever, 15, 16 years or however long it's been, right? And then it's going to come to a point where it's just going to be like, okay, it's been 50 years. We've got so much of this content that's just sitting there. It's time to start archiving it. And the other thing that was interesting that a few people mentioned is, what about if the creators that put that content online are no longer alive, right? And then somebody was suggesting, would there be a separate website for it? And I was like, yeah, there's going to be a separate website, which is going to be called You Dead, JK. Or DeadTube.
DeadTube. No, that's very interesting, because also there are creators who have passed away that we know, like, you know, maybe not personally, but we watch, and their content is still live on YouTube, right? And I think it raises a very interesting point. I think the other point that I wanted to bring up quickly is, I think we are getting to the point even now that we need a standard solution. And look, I'm sorry, every company does this. This is my codec, that's my codec, Sony codec, Canon, Apple, Micro. Like, I'm tired of that rubbish. Like, we all need to come together and, you know, come up with a codec platform that is effective, it's better. You know, I know how we've all tried to push the H.264, 265, so that it's just easier down the road, because it's going to make those kind of problems, which I don't think a lot of companies are thinking about it, but down the road, just being able to access video, archiving, all that stuff. And yeah, I'm just tired of different codecs, because trust me, when we edit video, it's like,
okay, do I need to get this one? Play well. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Now,
I don't think that's going to change anytime soon. But what's interesting is, like, you know, like, I'm kind of thinking, okay, say your content's online now. Now, obviously, you know, even if you live 120 years, which I really hope you will, and maybe longer, inshallah, God willing, this obviously, as humans, there's always going to be a point where there's going to be a cutoff, right? You're not going to live forever. It's really kind of intriguing to think that your content will still be live
for people to
kind of, will outlive you. So I don't know, maybe you're, you know, if you have like great grandkids, like my great grandkids will be kind of like, oh, that was my great, because like right now when I look back at photos of like my great grandparents, right, and stuff, and I'm like, oh man, that's like just literally got like one, two, maybe photos, very old school. And then here you've got literally a collection of hours and hours of footage, which you could be like, oh hey, you know, this is my granddad who's, you know, my great-great-grandfather who was a YouTuber who had a million followers, which is kind of small right now because everybody has a million followers now.
I know, right?
Something like that.
I think what it does, what you just said, brings up a good point. I think everyone should record content. Not, you don't have to share it on YouTube, but save it somewhere that you can share later on with family and friends. You made a very good point there. It's the fact that, like, I would have loved to see my mom when she was younger in college, and she talked about like her friends and the things she did. And I mean, I saw photos, but you know, even for me, they're very static. And granted, my mom had multiple photos as opposed to now, where if I want to describe, like, if I wanted to tell, you know, my mom was like, oh, I have a friend, his name is Saf, I can send a video, and then she, you know, you kind of see the person and you see how they are and you see at least a glimpse of them, as opposed to just a static photo. So I would suggest that people should at least try and share more video content, especially family members that are far away that you care about and you talk to, because it just keeps the memory more vivid.
Okay, I had an idea, right? Okay, maybe what we should do is record a video for our future selves or our future grandkids or something, right? And upload it onto YouTube as private, but have like maybe a future published date, or have that there. So I don't know, if we're still alive in 20 years, right, or something, we can look back at it and we can kind of see what's changed. And yeah, that, what do you reckon? Should we do that? Should we set that as a challenge?
I agree. Let's do, actually, instead of just 20, let's do like 10, because I think it's also good for us to just be able to like see it pop up. Because we might not be doing YouTube anymore by then, right? Whatever happens, right? Who knows? And then 10 years from now, if we just see a notification of video published, you're like, oh, snap.
Oh, man. What was I thinking? I thought this YouTube thing's going to last forever. It didn't. People stopped watching me. It's funny because I was having a conversation with my nieces, and you know, we were talking about, because there's a lot of YouTubers who obviously come and go, right? And that's one of the questions we have. It's like, are we still going to be making videos? Now, you know, as far as I can see, I'll still be making videos. I'll be an older guy, right? Maybe I'll have a gray beard. Maybe you'll think I'm cool. You know, gray beard guy with a, you know, maybe I'll change my name to Uncle Super Seth. I don't know. But because it's interesting, because there are creators that are older than us who are still creating really good content and people are still watching, right? Yeah. And I think obviously you probably have a different audience maybe, but I think that's one of the advantages we have with tech, is that we can still cover tech. Like, you know, more recently covering electronic vehicles, right? Which if you ask me, you know, five years ago, I'd be like, I don't think I'd be doing that, but now I'm doing that. So obviously you adapt with time. You never know. Maybe in 10 years time, we'll still be making content. We'll see.
All right, cool.
Well, let's hope we can.
That'll be a good challenge.
Yeah, it'll be a good challenge. So we'll see how that goes. Again, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So who knows if we'll be around, but God willing, inshallah, we'll still be around in 10 years. And maybe we'll still be making content. And maybe you guys will still be listening and watching. And we really do appreciate you guys tuning in for this episode. Obviously, some usual tech stuff, but also some other stuff, which is just fun to talk about. Hope you enjoyed it. If you want to get involved, then do give us a follow on our social media channels. And we can also suggest topics for future episodes. And Drop a rating whenever this comes back on Apple Podcasts, and also get involved on the clips on YouTube, where I think there's most of the engagement is on the clips. People enjoy watching the clips more than anything else. Thanks for listening. This is Saf on Super Saf Speaks with my co-host
Thunder Eve from Border Work.
And we'll see you next time.